And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 in your favorite podcast app, whether that's Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, wherever. Just search for the Nick Craig Show or listen online at nickcraig.com and take the show with you on demand on your own time. You can send in your comments this morning. You can text them in at 910-377-6425. That's 910-377-6425. Include your name and your location there if you wouldn't mind, or leave us a comment on the YouTube, Rumble, or X chat, and we'll get to those throughout the program this morning. Well, it's been a busy week thus far. Already some comments coming in on Rumble this morning. I had the opportunity to fill in for Pete Callender on WBT the last couple of days from noon to 3, and had a great opportunity to fill in for him, doing that again next Friday and the upcoming Monday, the 31st of this month. So back on WBT, great to have the opportunity there. And boy, has it been a busy news week. We start where yesterday evening, as NASA astronauts that had been stranded in space for 9 months finally made their way back to ground to the United States. Here's the moment as the Falcon, the Dragon capsule landed in the Atlantic Ocean.
And we're going to stand by for splashdown, located in the Gulf of America, off the coast of Tallahassee, Florida.
And splashdown, Crew 9 back on Earth.
What a cool sight to see these astronauts stuck at the International Space Station for 9 months as Boeing, they went up in a Boeing spacecraft that has been a complete and total debacle. And really one of the big stories here that has not been discussed all that much was the fact that there was an opportunity to rescue these individuals. And of course, the mainstream media and Democrats are trying to downplay this whole situation. I heard two people yesterday, one on Fox, Scott Kelly, and then some jackass on MSNBC. They both made the point, these astronauts weren't stranded. They were conducting over 150 scientific missions. They were supposed to be up there for 10 days. They ended up being up there for 9 months. This joker on MSNBC made the point that they could have come down at any point if they wanted to. Why didn't they? If it was safe for them to leave on the Boeing spacecraft, the Boeing capsule, why didn't they come back? And the answer is very simple. It wasn't safe. The Boeing capsule had a whole bunch of issues when it docked. They determined that there were some issues from the launch with the capsule and that those individuals were not going to come back safely on that capsule. So they waited in space for 9 months. They were supposed to be there for 10 days. And this idea that, they could have just come back whenever. They weren't truly stranded there. It's absurd. We left two United States citizens, two astronauts in the International Space Station for 9 months. And there's a good reason that they didn't come back earlier. And it's only political. The only entity that was capable of bringing these individuals back was SpaceX. That's who conducted this yesterday. SpaceX was the only operation capable of doing this task. And leading up to the election, these guys went up in, I think, June. Leading up to the election, there was not a snowball's chance in hell that Joe Biden, a.k.a. the Democrats really running the administration, and we know it wasn't Joe, were not going to give Elon Musk and SpaceX a win. It just wasn't going to happen. So they allowed these people to stay in space for 9 months. Now, fortunately, with a new administration in there, Trump, within the earliest days of this administration, said, hey, we got to get these guys back. A plan was devised to get these individuals back to ground, back to Earth, back in the United States. And that venture was successful yesterday due to the work of SpaceX, which has completely revitalized the U.S. space program. I mean, NASA has not had an efficient and effective space program in decades now. SpaceX and what Boeing is trying to do is trying to revitalize the space program here in the U.S. But they can't give them credit. They won't give SpaceX credit. I was watching Fox, MSNBC, and CNN last night around 6 o'clock when this was happening. CNN and Fox, of course, took it full screen and were covering the details as it's a major story, major breaking news happening live. MSNBC was talking about Trump and Russia. Now, they went to a commercial break and then they came back, talked about it. They did talk about it for a little bit. They had their experts of Democrats on there. Both of the Democrat experts on MSNBC made the point that they weren't stranded. They weren't stuck. They could have come back at any time. It's just unbearable. These individuals' hatred for people like Elon Musk is unbearable. And I will remind you once again, the darling of the left. The darling of the left with Tesla and SpaceX. The progressive left loved Elon Musk. And the fact that Elon has broken with the Democrat Party, the fact that he is no longer drinking the left-wing Kool-Aid and falling hook, line, and sinker for all of their BS and all of their nonsense, now he's public enemy number one. I was on Reddit yesterday, which I try to stay off of because it's just a liberal progressive hellhole. And I was on a post about people protesting in front of a Tesla dealership in Raleigh, as they were very proud to say, we've been doing this for 4 weeks. I don't know, maybe get a job. Maybe find something to do with your time instead of standing in front of a car dealership or burning cars or doxing individuals that drive Teslas. The left is out of control, and somebody is going to have to slap them back into reality. I am hopeful and I pray that this Trump Department of Justice starts rounding these freaks up, starts rounding these criminals up and throwing the book at them. You want to talk about holding people accountable for their actions? Let's start doing it. You know, all the January 6th people rotted in prison for 3+ years under sham trespassing charges. What about the individuals burning cars at dealerships? When are those individuals, when are they going to have the books thrown at them? Lighting vehicles on fire, posting people's information online to go to their house and harass them, sending SWAT teams to people's house. You guys want to play dirty? All right, let's do it. I'm fed up with this crap. I was on Twitter this morning. Owen Schroyer, who works over at InfoWars, had the police at his house overnight. Another swatting attempt. Joe Pags had this situation. He's a very popular radio host. Here's Owen Schroyer at 12:32 a.m. standing in front of his house with his hands up with police aiming AR-15s at him. Somebody's got to put this in reality. I am over the political left. I am fed up with their nonsense. You guys want to act like a bunch of truth fighters and a bunch of, oh, we're the resistance, man. Okay, keep it up then. This Trump Department of Justice is going to start coming after you guys, and they should. Because what's going on with sending the SWAT team to people's house with one goal, to get them shot and killed? That's the only reason you SWAT somebody. They answer the door with a gun, and then the police shoot and kill them in cold blood. This is going to end very, very poorly for the left. I can promise you that. I can guarantee it. These guys are out of control. These left-wing groups are agitating their own mentally ill supporters. And it's going to end very poorly. Somebody is going to get shot and killed, and then I can promise you, all hell is going to break loose. I can guarantee you all hell is going to break loose. And it's only a matter of time. These swatting attempts, individuals' addresses being posted online that own Tesla cars, somebody's going to show up to one of these houses and get shot and killed by somebody. And then there's, of course, going to be some left-wing mobs and left-wing riots because, somebody got shot and killed even though they were on somebody's property trying to destroy their car. You guys are playing a very, very risky game right now, and it's going to backfire. Again, you can take that to the bank. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. So on the side of positivity, on the side of actually doing something useful for society instead of burning cars and standing in front of a Tesla dealership when you should be at work holding up a sign about how much you hate Elon Musk, well, Elon Musk and his company are rescuing astronauts from space, where Joe Biden and the Democrats and Boeing abandoned them for 9 months. So you guys can pat yourself on the back. Another huge Democrat victory yesterday, another showing of incompetence from the left. Another issue that they couldn't solve, another issue that they didn't want to deal with, that they just ignored. And lo and behold, it took Trump and Elon Musk, who you guys hate, to solve your problem because you guys are completely incapable. Completely incapable at managing anything. Completely and utterly incapable. Whether it's wars brewing in Europe, stranded astronauts in space, the border, fentanyl, you guys can't manage and completely failed on all of it. And so now, who's getting the great PR out of all of this? Trump and Elon Musk. So you guys can pat yourself on the back this morning as you're hanging out at your Tesla dealership, scratching up cars and burning them. Pat yourself on the back. You guys are doing a hell of a job in the eyes of the American people. We are watching right now a party in the Democrats that are completely falling apart. A party that has nothing to stand for. A party that has no ideas, no priorities, and no principles. And if this continues, which I suspect that it will for at least the next couple of years, you are going to watch a party that is going to fall so unpopular with the American people that it's going to be very hard for them to win elections. As I sit here this morning, Democrats are on the precipice of flushing the midterm elections down the drain. Because the actions in which they are conducting themselves with, the nonsense that you're hearing from Democrats, from their cadre of justice and equality groups that, of course, believe it's appropriate to destroy people's private property, send law enforcement to their house to get them shot and killed, that group is falling in very much an unfavorable light in the eyes of the American people. If I am a Democrat this morning, I am looking at fear in regards to my own party. The far left progressive wing of the Democrat Party is sinking you guys in terms of winning elections. I strongly believe that's the case. Burning cars of your hero, by the way, the guy that you idolized, the guy that was the darling, the hero, the Jesus Christ of the left in Elon Musk with his electric vehicles and his clean energy cars. Good job, guys. Pat yourselves on the back. You're doing a masterful job. Keep it up. So took Trump and Elon Musk to get these astronauts back because Joe Biden and the Democrats are completely and totally incompetent and incapable. I've got three stories this morning that continue on a thread of activist judges and their attempts to completely thwart the ongoing administration and what they're trying to do. Three different headlines this morning. We'll get into them. The first, judge blocks Trump's order barring transgender troops from serving in the military. That's one. The other, judge blocks EPA from taking back $20 billion Biden earmarked for climate groups. And the third, judge orders restoration of USAID access after constitutional concern. Three different stories this morning in which judges who are not in the executive branch, judges who are not outlined in the Constitution, are taking their own justice, taking their own guidance, and attempting to essentially be the president of the United States. There is nothing in the United States Constitution that gives a district court judge the authority to change Trump's executive order or bar Trump's executive order on transgender troops from serving in the military. It doesn't exist. There's no constitutional authority for that action at all. But once again, a judge blocked the Trump administration on Tuesday from carrying out yet another executive order. U.S. District Judge Anna Reyes wrote a scathing 79-page memorandum that President Trump's executive order on transgender service members and Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth's policy violated the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment. A scathing response from a judge. A far-left, progressive, radical judge. So that's the first story. The second, a federal judge on Tuesday blocked the EPA from clawing back some $20 billion in climate money that the Trump administration said was shoved out the door by the departing Biden administration. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan said that the Environmental Protection Agency gave, quote, no legal justification for why it tried to reclaim the money or given the recipients of the money no chance to object or challenge the decision. Challenge the decision. The EPA is giving out money. It's their money. They can do whatever the hell they want with it. And by the way, she didn't rule on the merits of the case. What did she do? She issued a temporary restraining order against the EPA. And wrote this. To be sure, agencies can decide to reevaluate their programs, or they may decide to end agreements or federal awards. But those decisions must be made lawfully and in accordance with established procedures and relevant rules or regulations. Procedures have nothing to do with this. Procedures are not law. Procedures, in many cases, are meant to be broken. Rules and regulations, again, made to be broken. There's no justification in the Constitution for this order. These agencies don't have to give due time to these individuals that the Biden administration gave $20 billion to on the way out the door. Where is any of this said? I mean, this is complete and total insanity. And thirdly, a federal judge has delivered a significant rebuke to Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency, ruling that their efforts to shut down the U.S. Agency for International Development likely violated the Constitution. A judge yesterday ordered an injunction ordering Mr. Musk and Doge to restore electronic access for USAID workers and halt their shutdown efforts. The judge specifically ordered that the preservation of USAID's Washington headquarters in preparation for a final ruling that could fully restore the agency. The judge rejected the administration's argument that key decisions were made by Secretary of State Marco Rubio and State Department official Peter McEnroe, instead pointing to evidence suggesting that Mr. Musk was the driving force behind the shutdown. The 68-page ruling directly challenges the Justice Department's claims that Mr. Musk, while an influential advisor to President Trump, had no actual decision-making authority, which he in fact doesn't. The judge cited multiple instances where Mr. Trump referred to Elon Musk as the head of Doge, including the president's post-election declaration asking Elon Musk to lead the department. The judge connected Doge to several other controversial actions across government agencies, including putting Education Department employees on leave and blocking spending at the Federal Emergency Management Agency. This is nuts. Every single executive order that Trump is issuing, every piece of the president's agenda that he is trying to roll out is being blocked by left-wing activist judges. And if you listen to me as I filled in for Pete Callender yesterday and Monday, or if you've listened to this show over the last couple of days, I've talked about how this situation is going to rear its ugly head. And it's happening right now. We are going to be watching it in real time. We have a constitutional crisis in our country with these activist judges. We have a situation unfolding where unelected, appointed judicial figures are determining whether the executive branch has the authority to operate as the executive branch. And in all three of these cases, we're not talking about final rulings. We're not talking about due process We're not talking about legal challenges and legal fights that have played out in courts. We are talking about temporary stays and temporary restraining orders, which means this. In the meantime, the administration has absolutely no recourse. Zero. There's a temporary stay in place. The administration is SOL until the case is heard. And that's the attempt by the left. I made the point, and I've continued to make the point, that the left can't win on the issues. And it's obvious that they can't. So, citing my source, the election of last year. The election of 2024. Democrats can't win on the issues. Democrats are unsuccessful in convincing the American public that their ideas are better than the right's. And so instead of trying to retool their own party, instead of doing any sort of inward reflection, looking into the mirror and saying, why are our ideas not working? Why are the American people not happy with us? Instead of asking any of those questions, the Democrats are using progressive, radical, left-wing judges to do their bidding. Instead of trying to get things done at the policy level, instead of trying to get Democrats elected to push forward the Democrat agenda, push forward Democrat policies, they are using the judicial system to get their bidding done. And the issue has reached a head. The issue is playing out right now, where you've got an administration, and Trump was on with Laura Ingraham yesterday on the Fox News channel, and Trump was asked this question by Laura Ingraham, like, are you going to ignore these judges? And Trump very smartly really didn't have any comment to make on it. But that's what's happening. That's what's going to be happening. The stage is being set to have this play out the way that it is. This is playing out in a very, very interesting way. And it's going to. Because you've got a judicial system that is not operating in a legitimate way. You've got a judicial system that, a judicial system that is allowing left-wing activist groups to take their cases, in many cases, frivolous, ridiculous lawsuits, bring them and shop them around the United States in front of district court judges that will be friendly and sympathetic to their issues, and then put a temporary restraining order, put a temporary hold, put a temporary block on it. That is not the way that the judicial system is supposed to work. It is not the way that the district court judicial system is supposed to operate. But Democrats have found a loophole. Get in front of friendly judges and get things done. Get in front of friendly judges and completely gum up and block the administration and their efforts. To the left's credit, and I always love to give them credit where credit is due, they have done a masterful job at perpetrating these actions. They have done a masterful job at weaponizing the judicial system against not the right, not the Republicans, but the American people. There's a phrase that I first heard and it was first relayed to me by Donna King over at the Carolina Journal. Sue till blue. And that's exactly what's happening right now. When Trump and the Republicans are enacting policies that they were elected to do by the American people, with Trump winning the Electoral College, winning the 7 swing states, winning the popular vote, he has a mandate. Contrary to what Whoopi Goldberg and the ladies of The View want to say, Trump's got a mandate. He has exclusive control of the government with the executive branch and Congress. Republicans are in control, and they are moving forward with Trump's agenda. Democrats, of course, don't like that. But as I noted, instead of trying to figure out, why aren't we winning? Instead of saying, why aren't things working in our favor? They are just taking these issues and playing them out in a very dishonest way within the court system. So the fight that this is setting up is one that is not been really dealt with yet. And it's what happens when an administration starts just completely ignoring the court system. What happens when the Trump administration says to these district court judges, go pound sand? Now, from a PR standpoint, that's not going to be a very good look for Trump. It will feed into the Democrats' nonsense that he is an authoritarian, he's a king, he's a dictator, all of the fun things that they like to talk about. But I believe we have kind of crossed the Rubicon here, and that's what needs to happen. If these judges want to act in a hyper-partisan way, if these judges want to act in a ridiculous, hyper-partisan manner and completely shut down the administration of what they want to do, what choices does the administration have left? I want to play a clip from you, a clip for you, if you had... if you'd listened to the Pete Callender fill-in over the last couple of days, you've already heard this. But I would like to play for you some comments from Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House. He was on Mark Levin's Life, Liberty, and Levin program this weekend, talking about just this very issue. And the analysis, the insight here from Newt Gingrich is absolutely unmatched. Take a listen to Newt this weekend.
At least look into this issue.
Sure, they look to have several kinds of power. First of all, though, the House and Senate Judiciary Committees should have two kinds of hearings. One, they should have sort of intellectual hearings, bring in smart people, legal scholars, lay out the case that the Founding Fathers never wanted to have these kind of radical judges seeking to interpose themselves between the elected officials of the American people and their own whacked out left-wing views. And then second, I think it would be very educational to bring in the weirdest of the judges and have them under oath explain why they made the decision they did, what the source of that decision in the Constitution is, why it's a legitimate decision. And I think these judges would look really bad, and you'd begin to understand that they really represent a radical worldview with no constitutional basis.
Now, I'm going to stop Newt Gingrich right there. That's exactly what needs to happen. These judges do need to be hauled in front of Congress and justify their actions. Because that's really the issue at hand. Where are they garnering the ability to put these temporary stays, these temporary restraining orders on the president? Where is all of this coming from? Where do they have the authority to do that? That's the point that Newt's bringing, and I believe it's because they don't have that authority. There is no justification that they can make.
And then I think the Congress ought to look at two possible steps immediately. One, to either impeach certain judges or abolish their court. And two, to look seriously at the budget of the judicial system in the United States and simply cut it dramatically. The point that Hamilton makes in the Federalist Papers is that the courts in the end cannot win a fight with the elected officials of the legislative and executive branches because the money and the power comes from those two branches. These judges, I think, are in grave danger. This is a test, as Lincoln said at Gettysburg, of whether this system or any system so conceived can long endure. I mean, if the American people electing the people they want, and they've given the Republicans the House, the Senate, and the White House, if they can't then enforce their views and they can't represent the American people, then our whole system's in trouble. And at the America's New Majority Project, we just did a poll last week. 81% of the American people believe the federal government's corrupt. 81%. This is an enormous danger to the survival of freedom when you have 8 out of every 10 Americans believing that the core system is corrupt. The House and the Senate have an obligation to bring these judges in, to interrogate them, to understand the normal constitutional boundaries, to look at the historic precedent, and then, if necessary, just abolish their courts and cut them out of the game or cease paying for them so that they just sit there and they can't do anything.
I think Newt Gingrich's comments there are absolutely spot on. Those are the two options. Abolish the courts or just cut all the money out. Then these activist judges, who, of course, are all in favor of the left and their ridiculous lawsuits, their ridiculous, frivolous attacks on this administration, then they have no authority at all to do anything. You hate to get to this position. I don't think that's good. I don't think it's a good position to have to ignore the courts. But what option is the administration left with? As Newt Gingrich laid out very succinctly, you have an administration and a government right now that was just elected in November, an overwhelming win for Republicans in the White House, in the House, in the Senate. Those individuals have been tasked with implementing the agenda in which they ran, from the president to members of Congress. When those individuals are incapable of doing that, not because they can't pass law, not because they can't sign executive orders, but because liberal, left-wing, radical, partisan judges block everything that they do, what option is the administration, what option is government left to do? Democrats always want to change the rules of the game, and then they don't want anybody else to play by them. The one thing that we have seen with Trump in the 60 days that he's been in the Oval Office is that he's done putting up with this crap. We are seeing a very different man than we saw in 2016. We are seeing a very different president in this second term. We are seeing a guy that has been dragged in front of the courts, has had ridiculous legal challenges thrown against him, has had his property raided by the federal government. You're seeing a guy right now that pretty much doesn't care. A guy that will stop at no ends to get his agenda enacted. And who's to blame for all of this? The left. They are the ones that have put Trump and put Republicans in this position. If they would have just run better campaigns and nominated and elected better candidates, they could be currently in control of the Senate or the House. Hell, they could be in control of the White House. But they chose not to do that. They put forward crummy candidates like Kamala Harris. They put forth radical ideas like allowing men in women's bathrooms as their main policy priorities. The American people overwhelmingly rejected those ideas, and the left can't stand losing. So what do? Take it to the courts. Take it to the courts. We'll get a left-wing judge to block the Trump administration's attempts. They are setting themselves up for a complete and total failure. And so with all of this, Trump put some comments out on Truth Social yesterday, and we got some comments from Chief Justice John Roberts, who we don't hear from very often. We'll have some of those details, including the comments from Trump and Roberts, coming up here in just a few minutes. I want to remind you that if you are interested in getting exclusive access to the show, including daily show notes and more, our monthly hangout, which will be taking, or a Zoom call, I should say, which will be taking place next week, head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig, where you can get those daily show notes and more. $5, $10 a month. You can even set a custom amount if you are so inclined, if you believe that you are getting some value from the show. I encourage you to head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig and support the daily broadcast. We'll continue this conversation about these activist judges and everything that they are doing. You can text into the show this morning at 910-377-6425. That's 910-377-6425. You're listening to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show on a Wednesday morning, streaming live, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, and X, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. I want to tell you about ground.news, a website I use each and every day, whether it's in the morning, before the show, or at night as I'm getting prepped to keep track of all of the news that is going on. Ground.news is an unbelievable source of information. They've got a really cool feature that is known as the blind spot, which shows you news that is disproportionately covered by one side of the political spectrum or the other. You can see for all of their news stories what the source is, what sort of political leanings the organization has, and you can get access to ground.news for 40% off using my exclusive link, nickcraig.com/ground. Head on over there. You'll save 40% off your subscription. I use Ground News each and every day as I'm getting ready for the show. Appreciate Ground News and their support of the show. Save 40% now by visiting nickcraig.com/ground. So back to what our busy show this morning, talking about this ongoing battle that's taking place between district court judges and the administration, where literally every executive order that Trump is trying to enforce is getting blocked. This caused Trump to put out a post on Truth Social. He put out a post yesterday. It was around, I think it was maybe around 10 o'clock yesterday morning. It was a little bit after we were done with the show. And the post read as essentially read as follows. The president of the United States in his post said that these left-wing activist judges need to be impeached. That was the crux of the comments there from President Trump. And with that, he, of course, is bringing up the case that everything that he's trying to do is being blocked. This is his post as it was on Truth Social. This radical left lunatic of a judge, a troublemaker and agitator who was sadly appointed by Barack Hussein Obama, was not elected president. He didn't win the popular vote. He didn't win all of the seven swing states. He didn't win 2,750 to 525 counties. He didn't win anything. I won for many reasons. In an overwhelming mandate, but fighting illegal immigration may have been the number one reason for this historic victory. I'm just doing what the voters wanted me to do. This judge, like many of the crooked judges I'm forced to appear before, should be impeached. We don't want vicious, violent, and dangerous criminals, many of them deranged murderers, in our country. Make America great again. That's the post there from President Donald Trump yesterday morning. In response to that, we got a rare public statement from the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. That's John Roberts. And he said this in response to Trump's calls for impeachment of these judges. Quote, "For more than two centuries, it has been established that impeachment is not an appropriate response to a disagreement concerning a judicial decision. The normal appellate review process exists for that purpose." What a weak, useless response from John Roberts. We're not talking about a judicial decision coming down. And this is what I think is being missed in the overall discussion, the overall conversation. These three stories that I brought to you this morning, one, a judge blocking the transgender troops, the other, a judge blocking EPA from clawing back $20 billion in climate scams and aid, and the third, a judge ordering the restoration of USAID. All of these are happening on a temporary basis. All of these things are happening through temporary stays, temporary restraining orders, temporary blocks. This is not due process. Chief Justice John Roberts claims that, the normal appellate review process, this is an abnormal situation where you've got judges that are siding with these left-wing activist groups without hearing arguments from both sides. None of these judges have ruled on the merits of the case. None of these judges have scheduled oral arguments. No hearings have taken place. There has not been back and forth between legal teams on both sides. These judges are issuing temporary stays and temporary restraining orders without the full story. And in the meantime, when these temporary restraining orders, these temporary stays are in place, the administration can no longer move. There is no review process for the temporary stay. The administration has to wait for the full case to be heard, wait for a decision to be made by the judge, and then appeal it. And if there's anything that I know about the judicial system, nothing happens quickly. Nothing. You could be talking about months before these cases actually get fleshed out in the district court level. And then after that, an appeal that could take months. So in the meantime, the administration is supposed to sit on their hands? There's, John Roberts with this weak, useless statement says, impeachment's not the option, just normal appellate review. That's the way to go. This is such an abnormal situation. We're not talking about regular judicial situations where cases are brought forward, judges hear both sides of the issue, judges hear arguments from both parties, and then they rule and then you appeal. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about temporary stays with absolutely no authority to justify it. And that's really what this comes down to. Where is the authority written that these judges can and should operate in this manner? What gives a federal district court judge the ability to block the Trump administration's executive order and the Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth's policy over transgender troops? They claim due process in the Fifth Amendment. So they're calling a technical issue on it. But they're not ruling on the merits of the executive order. They're talking about due process in the Fifth Amendment. Meanwhile, they are completely ignoring the due process of this administration. The irony there is pretty rich. Because the White House, the administration, has no due process during these temporary stays. The case has yet to be heard. John Roberts has got a major issue brewing right now. The United States Supreme Court has got a major issue that is at their hands right now, and him burying his head in the sand and saying, oh, you know, just follow the process, bro. Yeah, bro, just follow the process, is a really stupid response from John Roberts. I can't say that I'm shocked or surprised. John Roberts doesn't have any backbone at all when it comes to protecting liberties and freedoms. He's been on the opposite side of many, many major cases over the last couple of years. This response is essentially just ignoring the issue. This is a really, really stupid response from him. And whether he likes it or not, Trump is going to force this issue. Whether the Democrats like it or not, they are going to force Trump to bring this issue to the forefront. There is going to be a major, major constitutional question that is going to be asked, I believe, in the very near-term future now. I didn't know exactly how long it was going to take for this to play out, but I believe it's liable to happen much sooner rather than later. And the Supreme Court's going to have to ask themselves the question, what do we do with these judges? What do you do when the Congress starts abolishing these judicial courtrooms? What are you going to do when Congress says, yeah, we're just not going to fund your courts? How about we just give you no resources to operate? Good luck issuing your temporary stays and doing all of that. Then John Roberts is actually going to be forced to deal with the issue at hand. Aqua Blue commenting over on our Rumble chat this morning says, my guess is Roberts had threats against him and his family. He's running scared. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that at all. But unfortunately for the Chief Justice, this issue is not going away. Every single day when Trump issues an executive order, groups like the ACLU and others immediately take him to court, immediately file motions against it, or bring suit against it, and then file motions to get a temporary restraining order. I mean, he's out of his freaking mind if he thinks this problem is just going to magically go away. And he's really crazy if he thinks that Trump's not going to force the issue. I guarantee you Trump is. And he should. Because it's a very legitimate question that needs to be asked. By the way, on both sides of the political aisle. These temporary stays are not just issues that the Republicans deal with. This is a Democrat issue as well. You've got judges on both sides of the political aisle that issue temporary stays against administrations. And the serious question at hand is, what is the authority to do that? Now, if you've got something that is in clear violation of the Constitution, that makes sense. But I'm not sure where in the Constitution there is anything in there about transgender service members serving in the military. And that the Secretary of Defense and the Chief Executive of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. military, I'm not sure where in the Constitution those two individuals are barred from making policy. And that's really the issue. Where exactly does it say that? Well, you want to talk about some other issues that have happened in the past? Look at Joe Biden's student loan forgiveness program. That was blocked by a U.S. district judge. The Biden administration ignored it. However, that district judge ruled on it based on a constitutional basis, which claims that that stuff has to go through Congress. Joe Biden was then struck down by the United States Supreme Court and did it anyway. He didn't care to follow the courts. So what option is left? I am going to be very curious to watch this play out. The media coverage of it is not going to be fun for Trump and the Republicans. I'll give you a fair warning on that right now. The talks of dictator and authoritarian will come up immediately with this because it's going to be a very good talking point for the left. it will fit into their agenda, yet mum's the word when the Supreme Court tells Biden he can't forgive student loan debt. He doesn't have the constitutional authority, and he does it anyway. So what rule do you guys want us to follow? I mean, using past precedent, I guess the administration is okay to ignore the courts. Joe Biden had no problem doing it. Barack Obama had no issue doing it. So I guess you guys are okay with Trump doing the same thing. That's what my takeaway is. If we believed in the courts as much as the left now is going to outcry over this issue, why did Joe Biden ignore the courts on just one example, student loan forgiveness? I'd love to hear the answer to that. You can text in comments this morning at 910-377-6425. That's 910-377-6425. You can also leave them in the live chats on YouTube, Rumble, and X this morning, and we'll get to those as we continue with the program. Transitioning over to some statewide news this morning, there is a new version of a Helene relief bill that has passed the North Carolina House and is set to potentially pass the Senate as early as today and then make its way to Governor Josh Stein's desk coming up here as soon as, I guess, later today, depending on how quickly things move through in the North Carolina Senate. Just rechecking the calendar for the Senate, it does appear that this piece of legislation will be on the Senate calendar. They are set to gavel in at 9:30 this morning, so we are likely to have a major disaster recovery bill coming up later on today. North Carolina lawmakers in the House said that they have come to an agreement with the North Carolina Senate on a major $535 million bill that would provide aid to Western North Carolina. The new version of House Bill 47 did pass the House yesterday with very broad bipartisan support. And as long as the Senate officially signs off on it, which they will likely do coming up in just a couple of hours here this morning, well, then it will make its way to Democrat Governor Josh Stein's desk. 1 week ago, during his State of the State address, he had pledged that he will sign this bill into law once the legislature sends it to him, and that will likely happen as soon as this afternoon. Representative Dudley Green, the Republican from McDowell County, is a Western North Carolina lawmaker who led this bill. He said that the end result of the debate between the House and the Senate, quote, is a very good compromise bill that we can send on. It is providing what is now our fourth round of Hurricane Helene relief, end quote there from Representative Green. Lawmakers approved about $1 billion in late 2024 after the storm hit, but have not yet moved this year to add to the total. Most of the money in the new relief bill would go towards rebuilding homes, farms, and privately owned roads that were damaged, severely damaged, or destroyed by the storm. The federal government is expected to pay for more home rebuilding costs, but that money is still, of course, going through the laborious process, the slow wheels of federal relief up in Washington, D.C. Now, once House Bill 47 becomes law, the next step for any additional Hurricane Helene aid will likely be the state budget. Democrat Governor Josh Stein is expected to roll out his own budget proposal today, which, as you're aware, if you follow North Carolina politics, Democrat governors or governors as a whole can release a budget and bring forth their priorities. However, the Republican legislature is in no obligation to follow anything that is in the budget. It is typically a wish list for the governor that is in charge, but the governor is not part of the budget writing or budget making process. The only part that the governor is involved in is the when it comes to signing the budget into law or vetoing it. He is not part of the drafting. He is not part of any of the legislation on it. It is simply a signature or a veto from the governor or letting it sit and become law either way. So that is expected to come out today. However, it would make sense that Governor Stein is going to ask for a bunch of hurricane relief in the budget, and lawmakers are likely to probably deal with that as well. In addition to Hurricane Helene relief money in House Bill 47, this legislation also provides funding to finish up the state's final efforts to rebuild homes damaged in Hurricane Florence and Matthew. You're very familiar with NCOR, the North Carolina Office of Recovery and Resiliency. That was a botched Democrat effort led by Roy Cooper to provide hurricane relief and recovery to the eastern half of North Carolina under the previous administration. NCOR has pissed away hundreds of millions of dollars. NCOR still has about 1,000 homes that have yet to be rebuilt. And I guess this final round of money is set to be all that they need to get these projects completed. This has been a real black eye for the state of North Carolina, especially as the discussion at the federal level takes place over what to do with FEMA, what to do with hurricane relief going forward, or natural disaster relief in terms of FEMA, what to do with that going forward. The state of North Carolina has an awful, and I can't overstate that, has an absolutely awful track record when it comes to hurricane relief. Matthew and Florence affected this state almost a decade ago at this point. You're talking about Hurricane Matthew was 2016, Hurricane Florence 2017, 2018. So for 8+ years, individuals have been not been living in their homes. For 8 years, people have been living in temporary structures paid for by NCOR. And their inability, their lack of accountability, their lack of control has allowed that organization to run completely out of control. They've pissed away so much money, and finally, they say that they can get it done. Do I have any faith that they can get it done? Do I believe that NCOR can do it? No, I really don't. I have no idea. I have no comments. I have no thoughts that NCOR is going to be successful in their job. The history is a pretty good indication of the future, and this is an agency that has been marred with controversy, marred with waste, and I unfortunately don't have any faith in NCOR. And of course, the end result of this is people continue to struggle. People continue to not have their homes to live in. It's pretty remarkable. So expecting some pretty quick movement on that again today, looking at the General Assembly calendar, the North Carolina Senate is set to deal with this legislation coming up at around 9:30 this morning. I'll keep an eye on it throughout the day. You can follow me over on X at Nicholas M. Craig throughout the day to keep up to date with the statewide and breaking political news. And I'll be tracking this legislative session coming up, House Bill 47, in front of the Senate, 9:30 this morning. I'll have the details on my X account and, of course, coming up for you tomorrow right here on the Nick Craig Show. On to some other news this morning, a couple of other interesting things that I am tracking. Just a quick note for those that are planning on visiting downtown Wilmington. A parking deck in downtown is set to be closed coming up here for a little bit of a period of time. Starting today at 7 p.m., the parking deck at 2nd and Chestnut Street will be closed for necessary maintenance and repairs. Those are expected to be done by next Friday, the 28th. So if you are planning on heading to downtown Wilmington this weekend and are somebody that parks in those decks, the 2nd and Chestnut Street deck will be closed until next Friday. Hopefully that plan is, that schedule is on track and it is set to open next Friday. We'll keep an eye on it right here. Well, I've got one final thing for you this morning. Old Chuck Schumer is in the political battle of his life right now as he is being torched by his own political party. He is dealing with major criticism, major political fights ongoing within the Democrats. You've got people like Hakeem Jeffries, the former Speaker of the House, and Nancy Pelosi. You've got AOC, Rashida Tlaib, the radical progressive wing of the Democrat Party, all of them coalescing to team up on Chuck Schumer. Why? Well, he voted to keep the government open last Friday. Him and 9 other Senate Democrats voted with the Republicans to pass a continuing resolution to keep the government open, to keep the government funded, at least until September. He made that decision, I think a smart decision from Chuck Schumer, to keep the government open, to give Democrats a bigger opportunity to continue to get things done or try and get things done. That has not been very popular for Chuck and has not been popular within his party. So Chuck Schumer is kind of in a very interesting position right now. It's not often that the Democrats fight their issues in public. I mentioned this on radio yesterday. Democrats fight their issues behind the scenes. They emerge a unified front, and then that's kind of how it goes. They're very, very good at doing that. This has been different, however. You're not used to seeing Democrats fight battles like this in public. It really doesn't happen. And now for Republicans, this is just another random day, right? Republicans fight their issues in public all the time. It's one of the huge issues that you have if you're a conservative and follow politics in Washington, D.C., or even across the state. Republicans just, man, do we battle it out in public against our own party all the time. Democrats, however, pretty good at doing that stuff behind the scenes. So Chuck Schumer was making his television tour yesterday after dealing with this backlash. He's had to cancel a book tour due to threats against him from the radical left that are not in favor of him voting for that continuing resolution. And with that, he went on The View. Ah, yes, our favorite daytime television program, The Ladies of The View. And for whatever reason, he went on this weird diatribe about people and paying taxes. He was essentially mocking the American people. Mocking individuals for wanting their taxes to be lower for them to have more of their own money. Take a listen to this.
And you know what their attitude is? I made my money all by myself. How dare your government take my money from me? I don't want to pay taxes. Or I built my company with my bare hands. How dare your government tell me how I should treat my customers, my the land and water that I own, or my employees. They hate government. Government's a barrier to people, a barrier to stop them from doing things. They want to destroy it. We are not letting them do it, and okay. We're united.
Okay. We're united. We are united. So he's mocking you for wanting to keep more of your money. I made my own money. I want to keep more of it. I hate the government. I don't hate the government. I don't hate the government. What I do hate is the useless, ineffective bloat and bureaucracy within the government. But I don't hate the government. I hate elements of the government. I hate how much they are in the way of individuals living their lives. I hate all of the red tape that they put on businesses in which they would like to operate. I hate that element, but I don't hate government. Chuck Schumer's assertion here is dead wrong. It just doesn't make any sense at all. He's, I guess, confused as to what the real issue is. His assertion of what the American people think, or really what Republicans want in terms of lower taxes, is absurd. I'm going to play for you one more time. Just listen to the mocking, smug nature of Chuck Schumer. This is truly what the Democrats think about you when you say things like, hey, I'd like to lower my taxes so I can have more money in my pocket for me and my family. When you make a comment like that, this is what Chuck Schumer and the Democrats hear.
And you know what their attitude is? I made my money all by myself. How dare your government take my money from me? I don't want to pay taxes. Or I built my company with my bare hands. How dare your government tell me how I should treat my customers, my the land and water that I own, or my employees. They hate government. Government's a barrier to people, a barrier to stop them from doing things. They want to destroy it. We are not letting them do it, and we're united.
Okay. I don't hate the government. I don't want to destroy the government. I want government to be efficient, and I want government to work for the people. And I don't mind paying taxes. I don't mind funding elements of the government. Public safety, public services within government. I have no issue with that at all. This is a very stupid broad generalization from Chuck Schumer. But this is just another reminder of what the Democrats think about you. You bust your ass 40 hours a week. If you're working 40 hours a week, if you own a small business, you're busting your ass 60 hours a week working for your small business, and you just like to keep a little bit more of your money. You don't think it's pertinent for the federal government or state government to be pissing your tax dollars away on stupid nonsense. And for that, Chuck Schumer believes that you need to be mocked, that you hate the government, that you want to destroy the government. No, Chuck, we just want the government to be efficient. If I'm going to pay taxes, I would like that money to be well spent, not funding some trans orchestra in Mujahideen. or funding American Sesame Street in Pakistan. I don't think that's a good use of my taxpayer dollars. Sorry, Chuck. I know you wouldn't understand that. You've never had a job. Chuck Schumer's never worked in the private sector. Chuck Schumer's never had a paycheck outside of being an employee of the government, whether it was state or federal. So he wouldn't understand. He doesn't understand what it's like to actually have to go to work and do a job, work hard, and then collect a paycheck. He's literally been in elected office since 1999. Or he's been in 1999 in the U.S. Senate since 1999. So he has absolutely no freaking idea what it's like. But again, this is just another reminder. This is what the Democrats think of you. This is what the Democrats think of hardworking, middle-class American people. You want more of your paycheck to stay in your own bank account? You want more of your paycheck to stay in your own pocket? Chuck Schumer mocks you for that. Thinks that that is a ridiculous thing to want. You want to provide for your family? You want to take a nice vacation every year because you work hard? Chuck Schumer doesn't want you to do that. He wants more of your money to spend on pet projects and enrich himself and all of his friends. With all these NGO kickbacks, all of these sham nonprofits that have no accountability at all, that are padding the pockets of the members of the Democrat Party, their family, their friends. That's what Chuck Schumer's in favor of. He couldn't give a damn about the middle-class American public. Democrats talk a good game about the middle class. When rubber meets the road, they couldn't care less. And it's obvious in their policies. It's obvious in what they preach. It's obvious in what they support. So good try, Chuck. Thanks for just completely shooting down and mocking the entire middle class of the American population. Great idea. Very good policy moving forward for the Democrats. That's going to do it for a Wednesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Don't forget, you can support the program and get access to show notes over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Thank you for joining us live on YouTube, Rumble, or on X, or 24/7 wherever you get your podcast. We're back with you tomorrow morning.